You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome. In these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer, and I specialize in food and science. Today's podcast is all about smart seeds. Now, what do we mean by smart seeds and why do we need them? Well, we're talking specifically about plant-based protein, part of the $4 billion meat alternative industry. Plant-based burgers, such as those made by Impossible Foods, are really quite expensive, and they're also resource-intensive to produce. Smart seeds are a way to help solve these problems, which ought to help to create more environmentally friendly food and perhaps to help sustain the surge in demand for plant-based food that we're seeing at the moment. The company we're talking to today, Equinom, is breeding non-gene edited seeds that they are hoping will change the industry. So could these designer seeds be the answer to some of the plant industry's key challenges? Here to tell us more is Gil Shalev, CEO of Equinom. Welcome, Gil. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah, now your company won the Food Innovation of the Year Award at Food Matters Live in 2020. Tell us a little bit more about Equinom and why you're so innovative.
So first, Equinom is a plant tech company. Basically, we are disrupting the plant protein ingredient market and basically redefining the nutrition. Simply adding more nature. That's it. You know, sometimes the simplicity is the best way to solve problems. I mean, by the way, personally, I have a PhD in science in plant genetics, and I founded Equinom 9 years ago, and I'm privileged to share with you all of what I learned as of today.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what non-gene edited seeds are. Now, you're choosing seeds that are most appropriate for the purpose and for the conditions. How do you do it?
You know, so for that, I need to give you some kind of a background information. People who are not familiar with the concept that 95% of the breeding companies is basically breeding for feed, for cows. The industry is changing, and now people are looking to eat more plant-based, protein-based food. And you need to ask yourself, does the conventional grains that you can buy today in the market, the conventional technology that you can find today in the market, is suitable for the changing industry? And definitely it doesn't, because cows and Homo sapiens are totally different creatures. And what basically Equinom is trying to do here is, we have a new demand, we have a new product, we have a new audience, and we must change technology. We must change diversity. And to be honest, it's basically resetting the breeding system. We just have to click back to the computer and shut it down and to enter it again. But then you need also to make sure that it's not going to take you 100 years to create a new variety. It have to take several years, otherwise you're not going to be here. So that's basically what we do.
Yeah. Now farmers have presumably been doing this for millennia, but is your view that it's just not efficient enough and they're not moving fast enough to provide the right seeds for the right job?
Exactly. And also, you know, again, most of the grains farmers producing today are for the feed industry. So if you believe that you require more nutritional value, you require more flavors, you require other attributes, it will not happen in the conventional industry. It simply will not happen. You need to start all over again. And, you know, adding to that, people do not realize that even gene editing and GMO are not the suitable technology to solve it. Because at the end of the day, you simply have to go back to the past, to the land races, to the old genetics that were exist in the world 100, 200 years ago, and said, okay, maybe I can find those qualities and the things that we are all looking for in old land races. And I can tell you, I already have done it. Yes, you can find a lot over there. Now the question is how you can basically uploading it in a system where you can just grab all the qualities and the goods that people didn't look for before and basically using them in elite diversity where the farmer is willing to grow. And that's basically what Equinom is doing in about 4 years rather than in 100 years.
So to boil this down to a simple concept, basically for years we've been producing the same sort of crops, but now suddenly we have a huge explosion in the plant-based protein industry. Now, to create protein from plant, are we asking quite a lot of traditional seeds? Are we using tools that really aren't, if we call a seed a tool, are we using a tool that isn't quite appropriate for the right job?
It's a good question, because basically what you're saying, can we solve the problems in breeding better seeds, better grains? Obviously, yes. But the question is, what are the challenges? What do we need to solve in closing the gap between the requirement in the ingredient and the food application industry to the breeders? And if you cannot have everything in one shop, I mean, food engineer, breeder, biochemistry, bioinformatics, on the same warehouse, you will never have the ability to solve it, because otherwise the requirements and the ability to solve it within the field will not happen. And that's basically what we have in Equinon. We are trying to basically solve all the answer in one shop, and then basically providing it to the ingredient and food manufacturers. We've already done it for PepsiCo. We're already going to do it for Roquette. We have already success story in that regard.
And just to be clear, which particular breeds of seeds are you generally looking at?
So, Equinom decided to put our main focus on improving protein and oil. So in oil, we worked on sesame, and that's for us already a validated project. We already have varieties mechanically harvested with high yield, but that's not our main subject of today. In protein, we decided to focus first on the main major crops where we believe the industry is going to use in the coming years, which is soy and pea. In that regard, we already have varieties with 50% protein. I mean, it's about 30% above the conventional varieties in soy. And in pea, we have protein varieties that have about 40% more protein compared to the conventional. So that is something that we already have within the market, but that's not the end of the story, obviously.
Yeah. Now, with the extra protein, presumably you need fewer of the source material. So it's a cost reduction, hopefully, for food manufacturers and for ingredients companies. But also, is there can you tweak seeds for their environmental impact and for nutrition elements?
Definitely. But I want to park it for a while to give the audience the understanding exactly what we are trying to achieve here. And sometimes people ask me, so what is behind Equinom? What you're trying to achieve? What is the goal of the company? Or what do you think you're going to contribute? So I said, look, I wish I were a smart guy. I wish I can tell you a huge story, a big dreams, but I can't. So I try to look on other industries, see, maybe I can learn from other people's success stories and to try to implement it in the industry where I'm working for many of years. So I think the Tesla story is a good example for us. The car industry, the conventional car industries, if you're going to make the correlation between the car industry to our industry, so the conventional car will be the conventional car. Okay, conventional, it's very clear. Maybe Filela Mignon, it's Mercedes, and the Riba, it's Toyota. I think 10 years ago, or maybe a bit more, you can find in the industry new cars coming, and the hybrid cars. So it was a combination of saying, let's try to solve the problem. But you know why they didn't disrupt the industry? Because they didn't have the solution to deal with the source of those machineries, which is energy. And one day, company came, named Tesla, and they solved the storage of the energy. And then they changed the industry. They will change the industry, definitely. Now, we need to forget, we must not forget one thing. They also said to themselves, Tesla, that the car should be accessible. Otherwise, it's going to be the Mercedes of the electricity cars, and it's not relevant. Going back to our story, I think the hybrid cars is the beyond meat and the impossible food and the meatless farms of the world. They disrupt the industry, definitely. They are changing the industry. They give us the evidence that you can eat a plant-based burger and you will have the feeling of a meat. That's an amazing story. But to jump to the level of where I believe the food industry should go, you need to solve the issue of the source. If you're not going to deal with the source and you're not going to adapt a new sources for those applications, you're going to have a hybrid product in that, and it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to change the cows, because at the end of the day, and people are not familiar, basically plant-based protein products are not a way different from meat, because the huge amount of investment the industry is putting in processing is basically, you know, you change the cow to a factory, that's it. Still have the same issue of energy, pollution, carbon footprint, which is the, you know, that's a lot of what we are putting. And you're right. You're right. We don't kill cows. So there is one benefit, but let's improve it to make sure that it become the answer for all of us, not only for the people that can pay 3x, 4x more in that regard.
Yeah. So if you see Equinor's work as being sort of fundamental to how the food industry should work differently, what I'm interested here, I guess, is what is the proprietary aspect of Equinor's work? Are you in the business of selling tons of seeds, or are you in the business of selling knowledge?
We are here to sell, at the end of the day, protein. So seeds as itself will not solve the problem, because again, that the major problem for the industry where I'm trying to disrupt is the linkage between the seeds and the end product. So if I will just come to a farmer and say, okay, buy my seeds, it's not going to be good enough, because the farmer, which I appreciate a lot, do not care about the protein. He care about the yield. He care about other aspects which I have to deliver. Mm-hmm. But I need to make sure that my product is meeting the end users, the impossible food or ingredient companies that create those proteins. So basically, Equinor is heavily involved with the supply chain. And the end product of Equinor is going to be the value of what we are going to bring into the industry. Now, if I'm going to become the ingredient companies, if I'm going to become the burger company, no, I don't need to become those companies, but I need to make sure that I provide the product, because if somebody else is going to do it, I will lose the uniqueness of Equinor closing the gap between seed to plate. This is where we would like to stay.
Now, it's a booming market at the moment. I mean, it's absolutely huge and increasing by the day, it seems, and should be for the foreseeable future. What do you think are the challenges faced by the plant-based industry today? I mean, is the scale of growth itself a challenge?
I think pricing. Mm-hmm. It have to be accessible. It have to compete the conventional product, because if it's not, it's not going to be a product that you can say it will replace. And if we don't work intensively improving its quality, its nutritional value, and the accessibility that everybody can basically purchasing it, and to be honest, it have to be cheaper. Hmm. There is no reason why you can buy a metric ton of yellow pea in $300 and sell patty, which will cost you $25,000. So, I mean, there is a huge room here for cost reductions if you improve the source.
Yeah. And is there, it's very futuristic in your explanation of it, but is there also an old-fashioned element to it? Are you researching old seeds as much as building completely new ones?
That's the beauty. Because we don't, you know, it's the simplicity, it's the art of simplicity. Nature already made it. So just take what nature made you for millions of years, and, you know, you need to have the right algorithms, you need to have the right AI systems to select, you know, like going to the sea, to the ocean, and trying to take the right fish, the right combination of genes to use in the elite varieties. But you don't need to invent the wheel. It's there.
And so how does it work? You have a huge seed bank, and you crossbreed various seeds, or is there a different system?
So basically, first you have to have the foundation, which you're already working on building that kind of foundation for many of years, more than 9 years when the company was established. And second, it's not good enough because otherwise everybody can do it. You need to dive and to go for sequencing technologies and algorithms and biochemistry to make sure that you are recognizing the regions and the genes that are of interest. Now you can say, okay, you have plenty of data and information that you can find. So what's the big point over here? No, there is nothing. Because just, again, to remind you, 95% of the industry is bidding for cows and they don't care about nutritional value. So you need to create the data. You need to sequence. You need to start creating combinations and crossbreedings to make new varieties, which at the end of the day will give you the qualities and the functionality of the industry's requirement, but also yield, resistances, plant structures, the conventional things that everybody is doing. So basically, Equinom is a kind of two breeding companies. We are doing what everybody else is doing, but we're adding to that another part, which is the qualities which is required to the industry that we are working on.
And why not GMO? Why have you decided not to gene edit seeds?
So, you know, my personal opinion is not relevant. And as persons that coming from science, I'm asking, and I'm not Einstein, okay? So I'm asking if I have the tool that will give me the ability to be faster in the market, I will use it. Okay, now I need to take into consideration the client requirement, and we have over there issues with clients that are not willing to consume GMO and gene editing. Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's very important. But let's speak about the scientific point of view. GMO and gene editing technologies will enable you to manipulate single genes, maybe several genes. The traits that Equinom is working and improving are being controlled by multiple genes. So it's not going to work. You cannot use GMO as a technology to improve the qualities that we are working on. And you know, the best evidence for you, there is no product in the market as of today after billions of investments of the multinational companies on quality traits, they were not successful. Because you cannot manipulate a single gene and thinks that if I will manipulate a single gene, I will have a protein increment in 40, 50%. It simply doesn't work. If somebody have the answers, I will, I will be happy to know. But we think that using what nature already made for you for many of years, and you know, it's not an easy job to be honest. But it's there. So if it's there, let's use what nature gave us. And you know, maybe technology will advance in the future and we have a better shortcut. But right now.
And I'm interested, how far do you think you can go with plant proteins? What sort of percentage do you think is possible in your wildest dreams?
So again, it's not a dream, it's a reality. Yes, it's our reality. So in soy, we know that we can go up to 60% protein within the bean, net, 60% net, which is basically you buy a bean and it's protein. Yes, in pea it will be less than that. It could be around 32% net, which is about 70% more than the conventional varieties. But it's very important to understand that at the end of the day, if you only calculating or basically accumulating the protein within the bean, it will not solve the problem. Because the industry also looking for flavors. The industry is also looking for functionality, meaning how much the protein is relevant to use in different applications. And more important, again, when you extract the protein, it's not standing still. It's not stand by itself. You also need to work in the other ingredients within the beans to improve the qualities and the efficiency of the bean. So sometimes you can take a high protein bean, but once you extract it, you'll not have high protein product and vice versa. So you have to dive into a higher resolution where you have the roadmap and the guidelines. I must bring high quality protein, high nutritional value with the best accessible for the entire industry. And accessible, it's cost and it's validity and availability for production.
And as you say, it's you know, it's all very well talking about protein yield, but if the flavor's not there, then ain't nobody going to want it at all.
Yeah, you answer it, you know.
Now, I wonder, is the origin of a seed relevant to a consumer, do you think? Or is it mainly the manufacturers and the ingredients companies that it's important to? Do you think consumers care about tracing the story of the seed as well?
Basically, it's a question that I will ask you, and I will give you an example. For example, let's think about Beyond Meat, Impossible, or maybe let's speak about a tofu product. Okay, a tofu is basically made 100% from soy, and Beyond Meat is made by 80% pea protein. So when you read the list of ingredients, you just ask yourself, okay, I'm eating a very good product because X, Y, or Z. And when you go to the main component of what you are eating in tofu, you will probably going to see, tofu is made by soy. Okay, it's soy. But what kind of soy? What kind of pea? Where this pea was grown? What is the qualities of the... What, there is one variety of pea worldwide? There is only one variety? I think a good example of that is looking again other industries. When you buy pasta, you know already that this pasta was made by durum, but durum it's one type of wheat. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you also know that in some cases this pasta was made by durum that was grown in Italy. So people do care on what they eat, but simply because of lack of knowledge, they think that soy is a soy, pea is a pea, but they know that wheat is not a wheat. Wheat is there is wheat for pasta and there is a wheat for bread. So I think it will be there again. Yeah. It's in some cases it's even more important than other labels that you see, which give you some kind of information, but it really doesn't help you to understand what is the main source of what you're eating.
And do you think that companies will begin to use the story of the seeds a lot more in the future? Because as you say, at the moment, the fact that it's plant-based is enough. But as the market diversifies, then other aspects are going to become much more important to consumers.
I can guarantee you it will happen. And I can also say that Econom have those tools to provide them, because it's basically a simple tool. I can provide you a DNA test in your facility. You don't need to chase the seeds, you know, to the farm in the US or in Australia. You can get the grain in your facility, run a simple DNA test, which will take you 30 minutes, and that test will confirm you that this is a specific variety got from a specific location, and you'll get the confirmation and traceability that this is what basically you need to store. So simply, there is not a lot of investment, yes. The seed companies need to change their mind. They need to understand now it's not just selling seeds to cows, because definitely cows do not care where the seeds came from.
And in terms of the response that you're getting from manufacturers and food ingredient companies, what are they saying? Which aspects of this are they excited about?
5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I went to one of the meetings with one of the multinational CPGs companies. And I came there, you know, just presenting them Equino. And it was good, you know, it was a good meeting with people that were highly ranked. He told me, you know, you're a nice guy. I said, okay, at least I'm a nice guy. but to be honest, I don't really understand what you're talking about. We are a food company. You are a seed company. What do you want from us? You know, maybe nice story, but I don't really understand what we can do together. And 5 years from then, we are here. We are overloaded. Econom is overloaded with requests from CPGs and ingredient companies. I basically have to select, to be honest. The demand that we find today is giving us a lot of confidence, because we do see that the revolutions happened also in those guys. It's not easy. It's not easy, because you can imagine yourself that you are basically asking food engineers to think about varieties, genetics, farming. This is different skill sets. First, there is a huge demand in the industry, and we are in the right position because breeding, seeds, database will take years to establish. Having the ability to go to food manufacturer and to speak with him about his needs, application, functionality, protein, some things that Econom know to speak today, and also providing him the availability of select the right seed pool, meeting his specification using specific AI tools that we developed. this is something that we are, I see, 9 years in advance of what you can find today in the market. So, I have a lot of confidence of what you're doing.
Yeah. Now, how do you see the plant-based meat landscape developing in the next few years? I mean, you're very much focusing on soy and pea at the moment. Are there other kind of main crops that you think have a lot of potential in the near future, or is there a lot of work still to do just on the soy and pea?
So yes and yes. Basically, so to answer the questions, let's say let's try to look it from the big picture to your answer basically. So first, people need to understand the most efficient factory ever made in the world is photosynthesis. Okay, so let's agree about it. That's the most efficient factory that you can ever made in the world. So probably the most accessible protein that you can find today in the world and in the coming future, the way I believe, will become from plant. Mm-hmm. Now, going for another layer, soy and pea will be the most accessible proteins within the industry because of cost of production of the seeds, of the grain. And I'm reminding you again, the story of Tesla. If I'm not going to be accessible, I'm not going to disrupt the industry. Now, going to tier number two, yes, I fully agree with you. There will be other legumes which we are already working on, such as the mung bean and faba bean and black eye pea. There are others also that going to contribute different component that is essential today for the food industry. Hmm. But they are not going to be the solo contributor. And then you need to understand that this industry is going to become more sophisticated. Equinome basically is already there. So that's exactly what we are targeting ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. So just one last question for you then, really. Where do you see Equinome in 5 years' time?
To be honest, I feel it. I don't see it because when you feel it, it's obviously, it's a better position. Equinome will be the major source of plant protein for human nutrition. This is where I feel Equinome will be in the coming 5 years. And we have a good head start compared to our competitors, because in my field time, at least the technology that I'm familiar with, you cannot buy money. And maybe other people can buy time and money, or they can buy Equinome. But right now we are just going to round C, so we are not for sales. And I think we are already having a huge footprint in that industry. And because of the head start and the technology that we developed, I don't see why we should not becoming the major source of plant protein.
Well, I've seen your investor deck and you've got big ambitions. So good luck, Gil. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Much appreciated for the opportunity, and thank you for you and for the audience. And any questions, they can approach our websites. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you. You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast, brought to you by Food Matters, and you heard from Gil Shalev. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts, in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from cellular meat to sports nutrition. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye. You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.